Dennis Felger here at Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. You are the only thing that matters. Their goal is to treat every customer like their only customer. Check them out at cambridgesavings.com/corporatebanking. Member FDIC, member DIF, equal housing lender.
B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG! It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Hour 2, Big Boy, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Again, he's brought to you by Jarvis Ford. When you heard about the Cora stuff, the Houston Astros stuff, really, yesterday, and as it relates to Cora and Manfred and all that, what did you think, Greg?
Well, I mean, I thought that I wasn't surprised by the level of the infractions, but it made me think of, you know, obviously Spygate and the penalties, because, you know, you notice the similarities where, you know, Goodell and the NFL had sent out memos saying you can't do this, and then the Patriots did it, what, not once, but twice?
Yep.
And Belichick just got a suspension, and they got a fine in the first round pick. And
Belichick didn't get suspended.
Yeah. No suspension, just a fine. And the team got the first round pick. And then baseball goes and says 1 year suspension for the GM and the coach, you know, two firsts, two seconds, $5 million fine. I mean, it just made me think, you know, it made Roger Goodell look really weak.
And it made Bill look very lucky. Very lucky that he didn't have someone who was really out to just ream him, for crying out loud, and just absolutely slap him upside the head. Think of the math. Belichick got a $500,000 fine. Alex Cora is going to lose millions. Millions. Not to mention he can't be on the field. Right? So look, I think the Patriots, in retrospect, you look at that thing, boy, did they skate on that.
What's worse, Spygate or what the Astros were doing?
I think it's pretty close to, I would say the Astros, but at the end of the day, the whole idea was, let's know what the other guys are doing before they do it. So it's in the same arena.
I think as far as affecting the actual play on the field, I think that the Astros had a bigger effect. And you were even earlier off the air, you were reading some of the home and road splits for these guys in the postseason.
Some of these Astros players in that postseason, home and road, were comical.
And it's just ridiculous. And I could tell you, you know, I mean, we don't know when the Patriots didn't have what or whatever, but the bad thing about the Patriots, what they did was that there was the whole secret library and notes and videotapes and all that, where it didn't seem like the Astros. I mean, you can't do that because baseball's different. It's a game-by-game basis, whereas, you know, football's a little bit different. But they're still both in the same ballpark, I would say.
Do you have something there, Maz?
Yeah, just some of those numbers. Like, and some of the role players on top of it. You mentioned Altuve.
Okay? Off the air, go ahead.
Okay, 472 average at home, 143 on the road. The OPS was 1,000 points less on the road. 1541 to 497.
And this is the 2017 playoffs.
Yeah, and I say role players. Brian McCann, catcher, 300, 849 at home. On the road, 037. He was 1 for 27 on the road.
I bet at home he hit.
Okay, 1 for 27 on the road. So look, from that standpoint, you know, I think Greg's right. The Astros, it's a direct cause and effect with the Astros that we can identify. With the Patriots, it's hard to do that. But, you know, I still think the greatest comparison between Cora and Belichick, if we're going to do that, is this. The commissioner told you to stop, and you spit in his face. They both spit in his face. The commissioner told you, cut the crap. Cut the crap. We're putting an end to this. We're getting too many complaints. Stop. And they both said, yeah, okay, and did it anyway. To me, out. You're out. Like, again, I thought Cora was going to get 50, and that was harsh. He's going to get more than a year.
So I would agree if you asked me that, you know, what's worse. The cause and effect of the Astros had more of an effect of what happened on the field of play. I think pretty clearly and pretty dramatically. The Patriots stuff, you know, deflating a football is Harry High School stuff. I mean, every high school quarterback takes the top off the football, you know. Yeah. Or, you know, like that's a really... really a high school sort of infraction, you know, just futzing with the air pressure in the football. The taping stuff was probably more advantageous to the Patriots, but still, I think at the end of the day, not nearly to the level of what the Astros were doing. What I've always criticized the Patriots for the most, and I think makes them look the worst, is the cover-up of all of it. I mean, it's not just that they were taping the opposing coach. They were disguising their cameramen. You know, they were giving them media badges or media vests or telling them to tell everybody that they work for Kraft Sports Productions or taping over logos, sneaking around stadiums. Like, that stuff, I think, makes them look just horrible. And the secret library and the stomping on tapes and all of that. Like, but primarily, the lengths to which they went to tape this stuff, I think, makes them look horrible.
Don't forget that according to Manfred's statement yesterday, the Astros were asked in some cases to turn over their cell phones and did so willingly.
And they all did. So I was just going to say,
meanwhile, Tom Brady's is in the Quabbin Reservoir.
When you and then now go to Deflategate, what made him look absolutely the worst was not making guys available for interviews, not, you know, turning guys over to Ted Wells to be interviewed, destroying phones, lying during interviews, the Wells report in context. No, they called himself the deflator because he was trying to lose weight. All of this nonsense. Brady saying, I never heard of Jim McNally. Who's that? I don't know who that is, even though he signed all sorts of memorabilia for him 5 days before, like, et cetera, et cetera. All the lying and covering up and nonsense is what I always held against the Patriots. Like, Harry high school infraction, just take your medicine, right? It's all that stuff that I think makes them look so duplicitous and so underhanded. I can't trust or believe a thing they say after both of those. The actual infraction itself, every high school quarterback, my high school quarterback, you should see the ball he used to use. I mean, it was ridiculous. So that's the oldest trick in the history of the book and the videotaping. Again, what did it really net them? But it's all that other stuff that I always look at with them.
I mean, the Astros thing, man, if you know what's coming, what's the point of playing? Really, like, that sort of defeats the purpose, doesn't it? And I would say the same thing about knowing what play the offense is going to run, but that is infinitely more complicated. Okay, it's not just as simple as one guy sitting there knowing what the pitch is. Just not as simple. But again, if you spit in the face of the commissioner like that, and then you get punched in the nose or kicked in the nuts, whose fault is that? Seriously, the commissioner told both of them, cut the crap. Cut it out. And they both ignored it like they were above the law. That is the height of arrogance. Like, you deserve to get slammed if that happens. You deserve it.
Okay, so there are thoughts on that. We'll take a few more calls. We're going to do 10 questions with Bedard. They're all going to be Patriots-related. Patriots superlatives. Season-ending awards. Best of, worst of for the season. That'll be 10 questions. In the meantime, calls as promised. Matt in Millville. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Earlier today, you guys said that you're, like, pretty comfortable with the Patriots receivers. I personally disagree. I mean, we saw early on he had Antonio Brown, Josh Gordon. Obviously, they both didn't work out. But those first, like, 6 weeks or so, they looked fantastic, and Brady looked great. You take them away, and you're heading into the offseason with N'Keal Harry, who, I mean, I know he's barely played, and he's a young kid, but he's been on and off. And Sanu just looks like he's a misfit out there. And then Edelman, I know he's playing hurt all year, but he did lead the leagues in drops, so...
Well, here's what I think.
He's always up there in drops.
Because he gets thrown to so much, right? Mm-hmm. My assessment of this receiver situation is it's unrealistic for you to expect for them now to go out and trade for Odell Beckham Jr. or to pay $18 million a year for A.J. Green. They're already $10-15 million into Antonio Brown in that debacle. They traded a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu. They spent a first-round pick on N'Keal Harry. They're not – you shouldn't overspend at that position, especially when Brady has shown and this offense has shown that when you put in the work – you can get lesser options to work better if they all are on the same page and seeing the same thing and all of that. And Brady sees the field and trusts his receivers and spreads the ball. You shouldn't need A.J. Green, Odell Beckham, or Antonio Brown. When you were the first part of this dynasty, you didn't need any of those kind of guys. Deion Branch was your superstar receiver, and that was no superstar. He was just a good, solid receiver. And so I like the odds of developing N'Keal Harry better than going out and spending another first-round pick on a receiver or trading for Odell Beckham or, you know, getting to Sanu and saying, you know what, how did that not work out and why did that not work out? And let's try and fix it. Let's try and fix it with you and work with you versus what? Going and spending another second round pick on another guy you have to start all over with? No. Get the guys you have to work.
I'm not holding my breath on Sanu.
And by the way, add where you could add. I'm just saying these things that I think people have the idea of that what? They're going to be a day one free agent player for AJ Green? You know what that's going to cost? He'll make $16-18 million a year, that guy.
They're not going to do that.
Now you're going to trade a first-round pick to Cleveland for Odell. Is this what you're expecting?
I would much rather them. Like, I like what they've done so far. I would, if I'm going to spend money, I'm going to spend on a tight end or at least go the draft.
Yeah. Tight end's different. They might be a day one
tight end. Go get a guy like, and just go get speed from the college and then give him a few specific, like do the Cordarrelle Patterson plan. That worked fine enough. They did enough. Get the Ruggs kid from Alabama who freaking flies. You put him in the offense. You get a tight end, maybe through the draft. Maybe you sign him. And then what you have coming back, everybody improves. Now you have something.
So, and I just want to mention, tight end, they do need to go big.
Yes.
I mean, when I say big, I mean legit. You know,
I'd focus on the line, too. I think the line's a big issue.
I'm not saying at tight end, just bring back Lacoste and develop. No, no. They got to draft a guy, sign a guy.
Why is the line a big if Andrews is back, it's just Tooney's gone. I mean, you can make the argument that Cannon, you know, maybe you move on from him. But Mason should be better. He's probably having some sort of off-season surgery. And then, yeah, you got to figure out left guard. What are you going to? Are you going to kick Wynn inside? You have Froholt. You have the Kajuse kid who's coming back who could give you options at right tackle. I think they're fine on the offensive line. Yeah, they could draft a guy in the third or fourth round or whatever. But I think they're largely fine there.
But you just rattled off two or three spots. Like, I look at it and say, Andrews...
It's really just left guard. Today, it's left guard.
Okay,
that's it.
Andrew, but I include right tackle. Cannon sucked this year. He did. He sucked. And if Tooney's going, I'd think about kicking Win either to left guard or right tackle.
Here's Matt in the car. What do you got for us on the Pats, Matt?
Hey, guys, I'll make this quick. Your quarterback is not going to be Tom Brady next year. It's not going to be Stidham yet. It's going to be a dirt-cheap veteran in Ryan Fitzpatrick, who only sucks when he hasn't gotten paid yet. I have no question of mind that he would like to come here. He loves the AFC East. He'd love to have a good year at 38, finish his career on a two-year deal somewhere else and ink that. You put him with Belichick, you have something going here for a little.
Okay. Hold on. Fitzmagic, before you get going too far, I'm sorry to cut you off.
Oh, that'll make me want to die.
Doesn't he have another year? Seriously.
The voice of Murray.
Yep, easy.
I don't know how to put it anywhere else.
You just want to end it right there.
Yeah.
Does he have another year?
The human cyanide tablet that is Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Does he have another year in Miami anyway?
I think he does.
Isn't that why one of the reasons they brought Chan Gailey in, for God's sake?
So I would hate to see something like that. John in the car. Go ahead, John.
Mike, is Bill O'Brien the happiest guy in the Western Hemisphere? I mean, he should send Alex Cora like an edible arrangement.
That's so true in Houston, right?
He should be building the execution platform for him. And can somebody please, enough with the J.J. Watt ass-kissing fan club? Because if I got to hear another time about how he blocked the pass or sacked the quarterback and they just stuff this guy down my throat every time he's on TV, then where are all these people to talk about how he let a 24-point piss away when he's the stalwart of that defense? He was unheard from the whole game.
Okay.
It is embarrassing.
But, John, this year I'll give him a little bit of a break because he's playing with a torn, was it bicep?
Torn pec.
Pec. A pec that he shouldn't be out there. So he
could tell his conditioning was off. At one point, they showed him and stayed on him, and he was gassed.
Yeah, he was sucking wind.
He actually made some plays in that Buffalo game.
Yeah.
And he probably shouldn't be out there. So this is 1 year, I'll give him the pass. The hype train for J.J. Watt, I get.
Like off the charts.
It gets insufferable.
It does. It gets so irritating.
But he actually deserves credit this year. 10 questions with Bedard, Patriots year-end awards, right after this.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Love, love, woke up to take
All right, in lieu of 10 questions around the league, we haven't really done a season ender with Bedard on the Patriots, so let's do it here. Instead of 10 questions, we'll give you 10 Pats awards, best of, worst of, from the season. Okay, self-explanatory. There's no buzzer options. Instead, there are Murray put together some award sounders, interstitials. I don't know what you call these.
Yeah, yeah.
Stingers.
Each one is appropriate for the question that's going to be asked.
Okay, let's start with number 10.
A 2020 prediction. The Patriots' record next year with Jarrett Stidham as
the number one.
So that's a spoiler. That's number one.
Yeah,
yeah, so, we went backwards.
So go to the...
The one that's labeled 10.
My bad. Stand by.
Number 10.
The 2019 Patriots MVP.
You better say Brady, Bedard. He was left high and dry. He had no weapons.
Who was the team MVP in 2019?
Stephon Gilmore. I mean, I just think he allowed the defense to be so much better. I mean, yes, he did not have some, you know, great moments there in big spots, including the Dolphins game that ended up really costing the team. But over the balance of the season, it was between him and Kyle Van Noy for best player on the defense, and I thought it had to come from defense.
Reluctantly, I say Gilmore. Reluctantly, and I think it's a sad statement on your team if he's your MVP. Good player, not a great player, and it showed up in the Miami game.
Why is that a sad statement?
Because, again, I
you don't think he had a great year?
That Miami game's impossible to overlook.
Bad finish. Great year, though.
Yeah, good year. Really good year. Not a great year.
Tough category for Maz. All right, let's get to
I mean, week 17, all you got to do is shut down Miami and he couldn't stop him?
Let's do a far more comfortable category here for Felger and Maz. Number 9.
The 2019 Patriots' least valuable player.
Sonu! You f***ing suck!
The team LVP, least valuable player, the biggest suck bag on the team.
It was Marshall Newhouse. I mean, he just had a rough go. I mean, it wasn't his fault. They basically brought him in off the couch and stuck him in there, and he was starting at left tackle in the National Football League. But he over the balance of the season, he had a rough go.
Yeah, it's shooting fish in a barrel, Bedard. I put down two names because I was sure you were going to name one of them, so I'm giving both to you. The right side of the offensive line, Cannon and Mason both. They were supposed to be anchors for that line this year, and they undermined it for a majority of the season. They both sucked. They can't bring that side back intact. Cannon's got to go. Mason's all right. I think he's a good player, and maybe there was a knee issue. Cannon was awful. He was awful, and at the end, he was awful.
Okay, number 8. This is also going to be tough for us. Go ahead.
The 2019 Patriots' most improved player.
It's Brady. He gets better with age. He's like a fine wine kid.
Most improved, Bedard.
I thought it was, and it was just specific to the season, I thought Ted Karras was the most improved player on the team. He was not good early on. He was a big issue in the running game, but they found a balance and it worked out, and I thought he was really good. By the way, my least improved, because I don't think we did least improved, Shaq Mason.
I thought so there you go.
Okay, it's right, so I cut that out. So anyway, yep. So the most improved, you said again, was Karras. Least improved was Shaq Mason.
So I didn't love the way this guy finished, but I went Jonathan Jones. I thought for a good chunk of the year, he was really good. Really, really. Even when he got beat early in the year, he was right there. You know, and the other team had to make a play, like against the Giants. I think Golden Tate beat him, and he was right on him the whole time. I thought overall he was pretty good.
Okay, let's go to number 7, if we could, please.
The 2019 Patriots' best move.
They don't gotta make any moves. They're the fucking best.
What was their best move, Bedard?
This isn't very exciting, but
shocker.
I thought their best move was bringing back Brandon Bolden. I mean, I think he's a really good player, and he helped the special teams a lot, and he could have done a little bit more in the return game, but he had his moments.
Drafting Jake Bailey, that was it. Everything else, what worked?
Was there another good move?
Maybe Bailey was it.
What worked?
Was there another? I mean,
they picked up like 6 offensive linemen in week 3, and they all sucked.
Ooh, that says a lot about this team.
I mean, this is scary, though.
Holy crap.
They let Ben Watson go and brought him back. Was that a big deal?
Not really. No.
All the moves on the offensive line failed.
Nick Folk, the best of the bum kickers.
Oh, so maybe Folk. Folk's a good one.
So that's it. Your best moves were drafting a punter and your third kicker.
Yeah. Whom they went to after Nugent.
Honestly, is there a third?
No. I told you, it was to me, it was drafting Bailey. It was that which, again, you look at something that tells you what kind of year it was, that's up there.
Number six.
The 2019 Patriots' worst move.
Sonu, you fucking suck!
What was the worst move? Now, there's a long list here.
I just think it was their whole approach with, you know, the roster building and the defense. Keeping too many guys that didn't do anything, where they could have traded a few, gotten some, you know, cap space, draft picks for the future, you know, whether it's Landon Roberts or Dietrich Wise or, you know, Daron Harmon. I mean, there were a bunch of things they could have done, and they just said, nope, we're going to bring everybody back. In the end, it didn't work.
So I know what the easy, obvious choice is here, but I'll get to that later.
Yeah.
Trading for Sanu. Paying the price they did for Sanu. Second-round pick. I said it that day. Overpayment. Overpayment. You don't give up a second round for that player. And as it turns out, he was even worse than I thought.
Worst move. I mean, where do you begin? Antonio Brown. Drafting N'Keal Harry. Juwan Williams, did he even play? Second-round pick. People forget Michael Bennett.
Oh, right.
Right. Yeah.
Michael freaking Bennett. Remember that? And you had to move on from that slug 2 months into the year. Mohamed Sanu. Let me go down the line.
How about keeping Gunnar Olszewski instead of Demaryius Thomas? I know you're not a fan. And he's soft, but would have made Brady more comfortable.
There were like...
You were a million.
You have a bunch to choose from on that side of it. Best move? You got to go to the punter and the freaking third kicker. And I don't think there's even a third to even put on the list. A rough year for Belichick, the GM. Okay, number five.
The 2019 biggest Patriot tool bag of the season.
There's no Patriot tools. F*** you, Felger and Maz, losers.
Hey, it's pretty easy.
Yep, run away.
Antonio Brown. And it gets the thing is, it gets worse by the week, and he's not even here.
Yeah, he's still at it.
Seriously, I mean, some of that stuff that was out there yesterday, holy crap.
Tool bag, number four.
The 2019 Patriots' best on-field moment of the season.
Just them taking the field. Go Pats!
Why'd that make me laugh? What was the best on-field moment of the season, Bedard?
Julian Edelman's pass to Philip Dorsett against the Eagles to win the game, basically.
I just put down the Buffalo game at home. I thought that that was the glimmer of light that we had hoped for.
And I was thinking, during that Buffalo game, was there a Brady moment where like did he run for something and then get up and give you a little body language? Was there like a Brady moment in that game? I think there was.
That the one down by the goal line where he actually gets stopped?
I just can't remember exactly.
It's the one where he ran to the 2-yard line in that game?
Yeah, it's all a blur, but I think he had a scramble in one of those games and he popped up and it was like, Brady, yeah. Brady, Brady. Like there was a moment or two in that game. It's like you thought they were back. And, you know, whatever that was their best on-field moment of the year. Next.
The 2019 Patriots' worst on-field moment of the season.
Just keep making up stuff, Felger and Naz. Fucking losers.
Big boy.
Ryan Fitzpatrick's touchdown to Gesicki in the Dolphins game.
No, I mean,
29.
Question.
That was the whole season rested on that one play.
So
if
bad.
They could have just held them there. Then they would have had a bye, and they'd probably be hosting the AFC Championship game this week, like all of it.
No question. I mean, for that matter, I'd put the whole drive on there. Like to let them go down the field, like that was brutal.
Number two, please.
The free agent they need back, and the free agent they don't need back.
No! Get out of here, you loser!
Who do they need back? Who can they let go?
Well, I think because I didn't want to name Brady. I'm going to go without Brady. Somebody that they need back. It depends on the number, but Shelton or McCourty. But I'm not overpaying for McCourty.
Shelton?
I'm not.
Shelton?
Have you seen what they have at the defensive interior? They have nobody.
Okay, so I expected you to say Brady or McCourty, and I was going to pick the other one.
How is it not Tooney? He's a free agent,
isn't he? He's not coming back. That's not even on the table. They don't need to have him back.
Really?
Yes.
I'm surprised. I know. I believe that, but I'm surprised to hear you say that.
No, they
you
made their choice
and took your pants off. To
yes, I think Joe Tooney is great, and he's going to get paid. It's just not going to be here, and they'll be fine. You know, it's got to be Froholt. He's got to be the guy.
I'd put Wynn at left guard. That's what I would do. Go get a left tackle.
Okay. Anyway, who do they need back, Miss?
So I would say Brady or McCourty. I don't want to lose both those guys. That I don't want. I think that would really do damage to your locker room and your culture.
Who can they let go? No problem.
Jamie Collins.
Bye. I have him too.
Really? So
yep. See you later.
You don't think that's a big loss?
Nope.
His impact did sort of wane.
He disappeared in the second half of the season.
He did.
He disappeared.
Next. Freelanced a lot.
Here you go. Last one.
A 2020 prediction. The Patriots' record next year with Jarrett Stidham as the starting quarterback. And with Andy Dalton as the starting quarterback.
Ooh. Trolls. Trolls. Brady's going to be back. F***ing losers.
Okay, so you can take out Andy Dalton and put in Joe Average. You can put in Alex Smith. You know, just Joe Average, veteran quarterback. Okay, you can, you know, I just said Andy Dalton to say Andy Dalton.
Because she's Joe Average. That's
right.
That's the best comp.
They bring in some Nick Foles, some Joe Average veteran quarterback, Jared Stidham. What's our record with Jared Stidham next year?
9-7.
8-8.
Yeah, 8-8.
Okay. They win the division is the answer. So that's either 9 or 10 wins. If you make me pick one, 10. Okay, with Jared Stidham. With Joe Average veteran quarterback.
I have 10-6.
8-8.
8-8.
So it's the same with Stidham or some Joe Blow? Yeah.
Exactly. Yep, no that's way. Why I'm going with Stidham. I'm not bringing in some hack from another team.
This is how I feel.
I'd rather get the reps for Stidham. It's 8-8. And look, normally I'd lean more towards Belichick's favorite. The schedule's brutal.
It is brutal.
They're going to play a lot of good quarterbacks. They're going 8-8.
And they have some travel.
Unless Brady's here and they revamp it, then it'll be different. But 8-8.
Okay, so thus concludes the 10 questions this week. Your thoughts on any of that? Back to Brady and Greg's thoughts on Brady and Stidham not being ready next year and how that impacts the decision. Stuff from the divisional weekend. Your calls, some open lines at 617-779-0985 to you right after the update.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back to your phones, as promised, with the big boy, Greg Bedard, in our Town for Attire studios. Here's our gal pal, Mary in Manchester. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. So I think the key question is how much stock Belichick puts in Stidham. Because if, in fact, he believes that he's the next guy the way that Jimmy Garoppolo was, then why not sign Brady to a 2-year extension? Because he's not going to be ready next year, and he might even need a third year, in which case it would time up perfectly because I don't think that Brady is looking for more than a 2-year commitment. So I think the real question is how Belichick really feels about Stidham.
So, Mary, I think that's the question if Brady goes somewhere else and then they have to go schlep out and get another veteran. That's where I think the Stidham question comes in. It's not related to Brady, I don't think.
She raises a good point, though. In other words, if Bill looks at Stidham deep down when he goes at home every night and says, this kid's not the answer, well, then you're going to have to find another guy. And that's going to take 2 years of grooming because that's what it took with Garoppolo, if they believe what Greg says, in which case you give Brady the money. What else are you going
to
do?
Right, so like that's, I'm sorry, you're right. That does relate to Brady. But I don't know, to send him to 2 years, so Stidham has to wait 3 years? I mean, I'm all for grooming a guy. Hopefully by year three, he's ready to roll.
What year was Rodgers ready?
I was just going to ask you that question
I'm
myself.
I'm pretty sure it was his fourth year that he was the starter.
And you know what? They waited too long. I mean, I know they went to the NFC title game in 07, but, you know.
2 years as an understudy feels ideal.
It was his fourth year. He sat for 3 years.
And that sucks because if they had started the clock earlier on Rodgers, I think he would have been better off. You know, Rodgers is 36. If he was 34, I just think you're in better shape and you may have won more.
There were also circumstances like, who knows, they might have to go through here. 2006 was his second year, and they totally got rid of a bunch of guys. Like, the offensive line was terrible. They got rid of, like, Marco Rivera and a bunch of Favre's guys, and they were terrible on the offensive line that year. But it was the wisest move. Next year, the 07, is when they went to the NFC Championship game.
And they let Favre go after the NFC Championship. Favre, quote unquote, took him.
He retired.
Well, but I mean, but he was pushed out. I mean, that's balls.
Favre was, if it wasn't for Brady's 16-0 season, Favre should have been it would have been NFL MVP that year. He was phenomenal in 07. He really was. And then he crapped in the cold.
And they let him go.
Well,
and it was the right moves. What are you arguing?
Well, he retired. It's not like they let him go. He retired, and then they did the whole song and dance. And in the meantime, they said, Aaron, you're our guy. And then they were like, yeah.
Right. He retired and then came back, and they told him to pound sand, and they traded him to the Jets.
Yeah, but that's a little different than they let him go, like, right after the season. They were like, oh, yeah, he's counting X amount, and we're just getting rid of him.
They were done with him. They were done. They were done with Favre by that point.
That's not what they told him. McCarthy told him,
okay, you know, we want you to be our quarterback. Argue about the Packers from 10 years ago. That's not the point.
Yeah.
The point I'm trying to...
Which passed his prologue.
What I'm trying to make, the point I'm trying to make is, it was the right call. They made the right move, and it was a hard decision. It was a PR hit, and that relates to here. Does Kraft have the guts to make a tough, hard move like that that some fans aren't going to like? Okay, because Ted Thompson did, and it was the right thing, and that's what it's going to take for the Patriots.
Belichick has the stomach for it.
For sure he does.
Yeah, I have no doubt about that. Again, the one thing I can't predict in this story is how they're all going to act at that final moment. From Brady to Kraft.
Oh, no, the Kraft is the one you got to watch.
Bill, I know. At least Bill's consistent.
But there's a humongous difference between Aaron Rodgers, drafted in the first round, had sat for three seasons, and also in that third season, he came in against a good Cowboys team that
You're
was
giving
undefeated.
The people too much on the Packers in 06. They don't care about the
hang
Packers
on.
In 06.
No, 07. I'm talking about...
They don't care about him in 07!
He came into a game, nearly led him to a comeback against the Cowboys, and that made everybody okay. It's a little difference from fourth-round pick Jarrett Stidham after 1 year not starting a game, not playing in a game, all of a sudden taking over for Tom Brady. That's what I'm saying.
No situation is exactly the same.
Exactly! It's not even the same freaking Grand Canyon!
Okay, but having to move on from a legend is analogous. And that is a tough decision that the Packers made at the time. Can Kraft do it with this?
Yeah, you're saying, oh, it was the same thing. You know, they made the tough choice. And it's not. You can't say that because it's not the same thing. That's what I'm making the point.
Why do you decide to wake up at 3:45?
Because you finally said something stupid enough to make me say something.
You've been here for an hour and 45 minutes.
What took you so long? Your delayed stupidness. It took longer than usual.
Finally, I got some life out of the guy.
Well, finally, Jesus. You made a point, Mr. Facilitator.
The jellyfish over there finally brought out the stinger an hour and 45 minutes later. Try this at 2 o'clock next time, big fella.
Ooh. Ask better questions earlier.
I can't remember what I asked at this point. I'm just glad you're finally here. Welcome to the show. Greg Bedard joining us in our Town Fair Tire Studios.
And you were all like,
Matt in the car. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, how you doing, guys? So my question is... you guys were talking about earlier how we're probably going to see a big divorce between the Patriots here. What if it's not the one that we've all thought with Brady leaving? What if Kraft in his old age has gotten soft and he's going to give Brady what he wants? And with McDaniels not getting the job in Cleveland, it seems, what if it's Belichick that walks out the door now?
So to me, the wild card is Kraft. I think I know what Bill wants to do. I think I know what Brady wants to do. And they're not the same thing. And Kraft's going to have to pick one or the other or stick to his guns or allow himself to be the guy that let Tom Brady walk out the door. And can he do that? Or is he going to have to overrule his coach? I don't know what he – Kraft's a wild card.
So I include Brady only because of the noise that was made during the year. And again, you know him better than I do.
No, I know Brady's going to cave. I know Brady's going to cave.
So, I mean, it feels like he's probably going to do that, in which case Kraft won't have to – pick a side, and everybody will be happy.
I agree.
Except for Brady, who deep down will be mad at himself and start kicking up dust again.
And we'll be in the same spot we've been the last couple of years.
I told you, I really do. I believe at this stage, it's beneficial for all of them to just turn the page. And you know what? If Stidham isn't ready, then find me a Matt Moore or some, you know, and I'm just throwing that name out there. No, I mean him literally.
It's not crazy.
But something like that allows you to tread water until he is ready and draft another kid.
Facilitation Tour 2020 continues after these words. Thoughts on the college game last night, looking into ahead to this weekend, the final stint of the big boy, who's finally joined us on the program right after this.
Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Joe Burrow, again, the snap, the knee, and the Tigers of LSU, a team of destiny and a team for ages, celebrate on the field here tonight in New Orleans inside the Superdome, capturing the national title and snapping a 29-game win streak for Dabo Swinney and Clemson.
It's the final call last night. During our 10-question segment, we did Patriot superlatives, but I did have all sorts of questions lined up for a regular 10-question segment, and the game last night was one of them, so why don't we just do this? Why don't we just, we're not going to do all 10 and they're going to be out of order, Greg.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so you just got to think on your toes, which
right,
I know is
Grandpa.
Not a strength
right,
of yours.
Yeah,
you got to think quick.
Yep.
Little spontaneity. I'm going to ask these questions out of order, so let's just bang out some of these 10 questions we were going to ask before. Jimmy still has some buzzers, in fact. Just hit one.
Really? Joe Judge?
Number one for you, Joe Burrow or Trevor Lawrence?
Burrow, definitely. He reminds me a lot of Brady. I mean, I like Lawrence, but I think that Burrow has the complete package.
Burrow. I mean, and I'll tell you what I liked about that game last night. They were having trouble early. They were having trouble. Clemson was getting pressure. He was, you know, had to get rid of the ball before he wanted. He looked sped up, and he kept it together, and they put it together and came back and won the game.
Did Lawrence take a hit last night, Murray?
Yeah, I think so. That's the worst game I've ever seen him play, and I watch a decent amount of college football, and that's, I mean, the biggest stage. And granted, he was awesome in that game last year, but last night, happy feet and accurate, short arm and balls. I've never seen him play that bad.
This kid beat everybody, too. Alabama, Clemson.
I think they beat like three or four teams in the top five when they played him.
Yeah, I mean, it's impressive what he did this year.
My takeaway from last, the only college football I really watch is, you know, like the Badgers, who are a top 10 team, and I'll watch until they lose, and then I'm sort of in and out. But I do follow it. I do watch it. I do watch their games. And what stands out to me, and the Badgers, they lost the Rose Bowl. I don't know what they finished in national rankings, but they were top 10 team, basically. Top 10 team. And I watched last night, and I say, if a team like Wisconsin played one of those two teams, they would lose 59-0. The gap.
Look what happened to Oklahoma.
The gap between those top three or four teams in college football and everybody else.
Huge.
Is freaking, it's a different sport.
Massive. It's a massive gap.
It's a different sport.
Alabama's about the only team that, in theory, could step on the field with those three.
The gap is just absolutely massive between those teams and everybody else. And I think that's a problem. Next.
He could turn out to be a disaster.
Okay, rank in order. The top three wide receivers left in the playoffs in the NFL.
Adams, and I put Kelsey. He's a wide receiver.
So Adams is number one.
Yep.
Okay, go.
Kelsey.
Yep.
And I was having trouble coming up with a third.
Okay, you only had since 10 a.m. this morning. Go ahead.
No.
I went Adams, Tyreek Hill, Emmanuel Sanders.
So that was mine.
Yeah, Sanders was going to be my third.
Mine was Hill 1, Adams 2, Sanders 3. You would really, Devontae Adams over Tyreek Hill?
I would.
I mean, I like Adams, but
he's hot right now, though. Adams, I think. That's why I have him number one as well.
I like the size.
Yeah.
I do. I like the size. I mean, I'll always take a bigger guy.
Okay, next.
Jimmy Garoppolo win.
This is my tool bag question. Who was the biggest tool bag from divisional weekend?
Just J.J. Watt. Not for anything that he did, just all the attention he gets.
Spell it again, Greg. B.
B.
O.
O.
B.
B.
Boo, Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien.
Next.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
That's the new pitch technology that they're going to install in Major League Baseball. What was the worst coaching hire of this offseason? Of the five new coaches, who was the worst hire?
Stefanski. He's the Browns. He'll be fired in 2 years.
Joe Judge.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Seriously, he could have been the biggest tool of the week, too, by the way. Wow. Joe Judge.
After that speech, it's Joe Judge. Hard-o.
I'm going to punch him in the nose.
What?
A blue-collar mentality, just like everyone that lives in the New Jersey and New York area. Oh, God.
What a Johnny tool bag that guy is. Next. Jared's... What's his name?
Jared.
Jared Stidham. What should Tennessee do at quarterback this offseason?
I would sign Brady.
Thank you.
Yep.
Oh, I said draft a guy. I wouldn't go near any old guys. I'd go draft a guy, find the next one.
You're a quarterback away. You sign Tom Brady.
Sign Tom Brady, draft a guy. Do not go all in on Ryan. Don't take the cheese on this contract drive.
They're going to.
I agree with you. They will, though.
Okay, next.
He signed through 2022. So you get him for the next 4 years at that money.
Three more.
20, 21, 22. Three more.
Oh, I suck. Right now, game tonight. Who would you trust more with 2 minutes left? Down four, needing to drive the field. Who would you trust more with the ball in his hands? Aaron Rodgers or Pat Mahomes?
Mahomes, no
Rodgers.
Question.
Rodgers. And I'll tell you why. Because he never turns it over.
You just jinxed him.
Not picks. Like, watching that game against Seattle, the one thing that struck me is, no, like, just nothing even really that close. He just is so good at protecting the ball.
He doesn't throw picks. He'll put the ball on the ground, But he's good with
it. He'll just hold it for 15 seconds to get hit from behind.
He'll hold it all day and take a sack.
And I go with Rodgers. It's been 10 years, but he has done it. Mahomes still has yet to win his first title.
Mahomes can be a little loose with the ball. He's not Jimmy G, but he can be loose with it.
And Rodgers looks locked in and nasty based on Sunday.
I would just say, if Rodgers is hot, if he caught his hotness in that game, look out. Next.
He's got a little Rodgers in
his little
pants.
Mozzarella down there.
A little something. Go ahead.
Go, Pack, go.
Go, Pack, go.
Bill Cowher, Jimmy Johnson belong in the Hall of Fame. Do either belong in the Hall of Fame? How'd you feel about them getting announced to the Hall of Fame on freaking TV?
Jimmy Johnson, yes. Cowher, no. I would have put Don Coryell in, who's basically the grandfather of the modern passing game. He would have been in instead of Cowher. I thought it was ridiculous doing it on television. I mean, look, this is a special moment for these guys. Why do they have to find out on TV? Like, Jimmy Johnson wants to let them hear in private. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Jimmy Johnson's a yes, Cowher's a no.
Yeah, Johnson, yes, Cowher, no. And I also thought, like other people, Johnson was having a heart attack on live TV when that happened. Like, it got scary for a half second. He goes like, I can't even breathe. Like, oh my God, dude. Oh, Jesus.
What was Bill Cowher in AFC Championship games? Something like 1-4?
Something like that.
That guy lost more big games. And not just, there's one thing about losing big games. Big games where they were favored.
San Diego in 94.
How many teams came into Pittsburgh? Denver did it 1 year. San Diego did it 1 year. You did it a couple of years where you go in there, they're the number one seed, their bags are packed for the Super Bowl, and they get stomped. Under Cowher, all that happened time after time after time.
So now Mike Tomlin's a Hall of Famer?
So wait, one championship, you're a Hall of Famer? That means Tomlin has a better track record than Cowher, for crying out loud.
Crazy.
Bill Cowher never contended for the playoffs on his third quarterback or what, sorry. So no. Last one, hit it.
He signed through 2022. So you get him for the next 4 years at that money.
Three more.
20, 21, 22, three more.
What's the best Super Bowl matchup for the league, Greg?
Chiefs, Packers, Rodgers versus Mahomes, airing it out. 100th anniversary, Super Bowl I, all that junk.
I share that sentiment, but I'll go so far as to say anything that doesn't have Tennessee.
Tennessee's a cute little story, not a great Super Bowl team.
No, I mean, again, you'll get Garoppolo and the Niners versus Mahomes. The better one, though, is Rodgers and Mahomes. That's like yesterday and, tomorrow. That is a good game.
I'm rooting for what I want. I want Tennessee. They're a good story, and spitefully, I want them because nobody wants them there. So Tennessee, Green Bay.
All right. Big boy, thanks for coming in.
All right.
As usual. All right, we have to get to Alex Cora and the latest on that. Developing opinions, developing items across the league. The cheating scandal of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora, and the Houston Astros coming up in 90 seconds without commercial interruption. Just a quick update here for Murray, and then we are right back.
Do, 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 do.